Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another edition. This is the Good Bit Podcast, and we are absolutely delighted and thrilled that you've invited us back into your homes or onto your phones, in your earphones, or whatever else you're listening or watching this week's edition of the podcast. Thank you so much. We're here for a very exciting edition, an extremely fun one this week. I'm chatting with Scotland's brightest and youngest brand new double act, the biggest act hitting the streets of Glasgow right now. It is Cole Stewart making his return to the podcast and Lee Harris making his debut on the Good Bit Pod. The Bunny Boys chatting with me, Chris Moffat, this week on the Good Bit Podcast. So you're in for a goodgin. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening recently. We've had a lot of buzz this week or the past couple of weeks. Maybe it's due to the Oscars being on. Maybe it's, you know, due to kind of the social media posts that we've been putting out there. But it's been really nice hearing lots of your feedback and hearing from all of you lovely, lovely listeners out there. It's just always nice to be reminded that there are people out there that do enjoy your conversations that you have here on the podcast. And of course, this is the Good Bit. So although we're chatting to Cole and Lee about their very successful debut show as a double act, but there's plenty of film chat on this episode as well, chatting about some of the things, the TV shows, the movies that we've been watching over the past few weeks. But yeah, the Bonnie Boys, wow, what a success story this is. Lee and Cole, two great guys that have decided to come together and create this Scottish cabaret show called the Bonnie Boys. They put on their first sold-out show at the Oran Mór, the legendary Oran Mór in Glasgow, last month. They sold that sucker out. And I was there in the flesh, sitting second row, that's a hard one to say. And you can actually see my wee head bopping back and forth and clapping along in the trailer that we'll post for their big, you know, their debut show. We'll post that trailer on the socials. And of course, if they ever do bring out the kind of full show, we'll talk about that and post that on the socials as well. And you can get us on those socials, by the way, at the Good Bit Pod on Instagram, TikTok, and I was going to say in X, I was going to say Twitter, still getting used to that, on X. At the Good Bit Pod. So yes, continue to let us know what you think of the shows, let us know that you're listening, or if you're watching on YouTube, please feel free to let us know any feedback, any ways that we can cater to your film taste some more. Please do. But yeah, actually, this was recorded about a week and a half ago, this conversation I'm about to play for you with the Bonnie Boys. And we start off talking about the Glasgow Willy Wonka experience, which I swear to God was like the rage about a week and a half ago. Like, everybody was talking about it. It was all over social media, all over the news and stuff like that. But it's just a mere week and a half later, and now no one's talking about it. Everyone's talking about Celebrity Big Brother or, I don't know, Kate Middleton or something like that. So, yes, it's not outdated. It just shows how fast this big, bad world moves on with things on the socials and in pop culture and things like that. So you'll be sick of us chatting about the Oscars and stuff anyway. So it's nice to kind of move on. And we'll be back next week with some loads of film discussion, back to our usual format. But this week is an interview. Does interview sound too formal? I'm not sure. But it's my chat with Cole and Lee of the Bonnie Boys, live from their beautiful studio, their brand new flat, actually, that they've got. And we're chatting all about their show at the West End, at the Oran Mór in Glasgow. Their amazing debut show and plenty of film chat as well. Please stay tuned for all of that. Thank you so much for your time this week. I really hope you enjoy. Here's my chat with Cole and Lee, the Bonnie Boys.
We have got one better of an evening for you tonight. We are the Bonnie Boys.
That I got in these books.
It's going in the middle of the town.
Everybody's dressing up. I'm dressing down. Don't know where's your treasures.
Hey, I've got the same things on. I'm the same things now. I'm going to go to work. It's going in the middle of the town.
Since you've abandoned me, my whole life is crap. Won't you pick the pieces up? Cause it
you're looking very dapper yourself, sir.
Oh, thank you very much. It's amazing. Thank you. It's amazing what you can do with an old pair of curtains.
You know? Or your granny's old shortbread then.
Louder, louder, and we'll someone you love.
Here we go.
But I would walk 500 miles, and I would walk 500 more just to be the man who walks 1,000 miles to fall down at your door.
Didn't bring my clapper board.
Did you get that fly?
I did. You're welcome. We have, I believe, a squirrel in our loft. Exactly. Look at those faces. Exactly.
No, have you spoken about this before?
No.
That's nuts.
That's nuts, Rio. We're off to a good start. No, have I mentioned it before?
Someone's told me about a squirrel in their loft before.
It's really, very, very recently, and so much so that when we were sitting today, it was the first time I heard it. So the rumour's been going around the household that there's a squirrel up there.
How do you know it's a squirrel?
Well, I don't know. They think maybe it's either going to be a moose or a rat.
A moose?
A moose about the house, aye.
A moose a bit big to be in your loft.
Well, I don't know. We did have a bird at one point, right? And they had a nest.
Right.
And then it flew away.
I feel like this is going somewhere. There's a bird, there's a squirrel, and there's a moose.
And it's the makings of a new play or a film.
It's like that wee Charles Mackesy book, isn't it? The Fox, the Mole, and the Horse. Yours is
that the one that's illustrated really nice.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
In Chris's loft. Yeah. Aye.
And Chris's loft here, there's a story in that.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, you heard it here first, everybody.
I just like the fact that you know that it's a squirrel, because this squirrel's just walking about going, I'm a squirrel, and I'm in your loft.
I've actually not seen the squirrel or confirmed that it is so. I don't want to, you know, aye. So
there's a moose up there going, they all think I'm a squirrel.
I don't know. Well, it sounds like a scratching sensation that a squirrel would make. That's why I'm thinking that.
Right, okay.
And we were sitting there today and we heard it, and I went, that's prominent for what a
prominent squirrel
a
noise.
Prominent squirrel. So I went upstairs and kind of gave it a listen, and it's kicking about in there, man.
Wow.
I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
What do you suggest? Anything?
Well, we actually had a mouse at one point, didn't we?
Oh, at Christmas we did.
At Christmas, yeah.
A Christmas mouse?
For Christmas, yeah. Yeah.
Not a creature we're stirring, but.
Exactly.
Including
exactly.
A mouse.
It was.
That's what happened.
And it was about, 2 in the morning when we figured it out for the first time, because me and Katie were in bed and all we heard was
and I said, well, at least I kept my cool. And I came running in, and then the mouse went into Lee and Katie's room because the door was then open, and then I felt bad because then it was kind of my issue, and then I made it everyone's issue.
Right.
And then for about 2 days we couldn't find it. And was it on Christmas Day that you got it?
Was it Christmas Eve? I think it was Christmas Eve. I was just lounging here on this sofa, uh-huh. And the wee tree, we had a wee crap tree over there. And this wee mouse, just Gallus, just walking there, just to the presence, just having a wee sniff. And I was like, ah, here he's there. And I managed to get I can't remember what I got, but I got a wee box, and I managed to get him in the box, and we got him safely outside.
Oh, nice.
A wee bush downstairs.
I was wondering what you were going to say.
No, of course.
We are by the river, so I imagine we'll probably get more of that, you know, more mice and...
I mean, we are top floor, do you know what I mean?
Well, I know, I did wonder...
If we've got a river running through the flat.
By the river.
That was why I was so freaked out. I was like, if we get a spider in here, I go, how's that get in here? We're 4 floors up.
That's a long way.
Must have taken about a year to get up.
That's true.
Takes me a year to get up.
You must never get slugs or snails.
No.
I mean, that'd be really worrying.
That would be really worrying.
Yeah, that'd be a hell of a climb. That's a brilliant story, by the way.
It's good, aye.
It's really,
that's a good
really
start. Although, what we should talk about on a serious note, right? We're here now, we're recording, we're all sitting here, we've got cups of tea, we've got water, we're in this. You've welcomed us into your lovely home. I know I talked about it last week, and those people who listen every week, I'm sure you're out there, and I'm going to get letters saying, Chris, you always repeat yourself, and I'm going to get letters saying, Chris, you always repeat yourself, and I know we spoke about it, however, we should talk about it again. Let's talk about the Willy Wonka experience in Glasgow.
Oh, here we Willy go. Wonka, it's the gift that keeps on giving, isn't it?
It's fantastic, and I didn't even go. So the development, everybody, is that we talked about it, our opinions last week on the whole thing, someone who's not been there or whatever, but at my work, someone actually was going to go, had a ticket, saw the commotion, and went up to the door and asked for a refund in person.
Oh, nice.
She said she went in, said it was worse than the pictures looked. Went and saw the guy that you're seeing in the videos and spoke to him, and I demanded a refund, and she's like, he was manky.
Oh.
That was the description.
That's quite bold to just go, I've got a ticket, I'm not going, but I'm going to go up and demand a refund. Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. Yeah. What did you, I mean, first things first, I'm assuming you didn't have tickets, he's only going to go, but wow.
I was just gutted to not get an audition.
You'd have been perfect.
That'd have been brilliant for The Unknown.
Aye.
The Unknown, they've just made this character up.
Phenomenal.
That's good though.
I know. Me and my pal actually came round the other day and we did a wee sketch about auditioning for The Unknown.
Aye.
It was quite fun. We had a good laugh with doing that. Because you can just imagine, I mean, imagine going into the audition for that experience, and the people that were sort of like behind the panel asking you to do all these all manner of mental things.
But surely they couldn't have known what they were looking for, like... And that wouldn't have been a real casting team.
But surely it's just a whole, not a scam, because they did actually put it on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they would have had to have got people, but I can't think it was, I don't imagine there's a full process of like rounds of auditions and stuff. Surely not. If so, that makes it better though.
No, I mean, if there was, that would be unbelievable. But I mean, it was like young actors, wasn't it?
It was. People that were.
Yeah, I mean, so these guys are just going to get a gig, aren't they?
And yeah, absolutely.
They've turned up and it's like... You know, they're probably just as shocked as everybody else. I think I saw one of the lassies who doing an interview, and she said that, didn't she? And she felt terrible because said that she was going to leave, but all the other actors were so lovely, as we are. And she said she saw the kids turning up in their costumes and stuff, started feeling terrible, so stuck it out for them. Aye. I was like, good on you, man.
Absolutely.
That's brilliant.
So they did a few runs of it, I'm assuming, a few days before they went, we better call this quits.
Yeah.
It's no longer happening, because people were saying they should keep it going. And now people are going to go.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
you'd make more money now.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I've seen it in like things coming up in New York and stuff like that.
Yeah,
talking about
I know.
It, right? I was watching the wrestling the other day, and the commentator mentioned it on the wrestling.
No, you're joking.
One of the wrestlers were coming out and the commentator said it, and I was like, my God, they've even made it out of that.
Yeah. That is mental.
So it was crazy.
I wonder what the psyche is behind that sort of stuff going viral. You know
what I mean?
How did that tap in that it's because maybe just because it's just so... incredibly like mental
mad
like,
yeah.
I mean, just the extent of it though, like the size of the backdrops and stuff like that, like I was very impressed by the fact they've just went, ah, we'll just put it on that wall,
yeah,
and
yeah,
it'll look fine. It's fine.
Yeah,
looks fine.
Just one little square patch what? Of candy canes.
Yeah. I couldn't believe the sweeties. You're like scooping up like three jelly beans. The whole point is you go to the Willy Wonka and get a
luxury.
I know, and I guess they're saying like the whole point, the message of Willy Wonka is that, you know, you don't need to be greedy. You don't need all these things. They're really taking it literally.
What, really? Was that the message?
Aye, aye.
Oh,
every kid only needs one sweetie.
Wonka on a budget.
Use your imagination.
Aye, I know.
Imagine there's more sweeties.
I thought, I couldn't believe that. But it first came on the news before it kind of blew up, and then it's all over Twitter and stuff. But yeah, as you say, it's just actors giving it a go. In theory, it could have been one of us.
Absolutely.
100%. To be fair, what you're talking
We've
about.
We've all had a gig like that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. More than a few. My mum the other day, she didn't even know it was in Glasgow. She went, what's this Wonka thing? And I explained it and she went, oh, and where was it? I said Glasgow, and she had no idea. She thought, she was like, why is it all over the world? And
aye.
I says, I can't explain
where
that.
Where was it?
Where? I think it was in Finiston.
Was it?
I feel like someone said Finiston.
No, that sounds about right.
I don't know.
It's just crazy. Did you see the new Wonka movie that came out before Christmas?
You did.
Do you know what? I haven't.
No.
You just stuck me in it there. I've not seen the Wonka film yet.
No.
What was it your pal was in?
Michael's in it.
Oh, but you've not seen
but
it?
I've not seen it yet.
Oh.
Sorry,
you just doubted them there on the podcast.
I know. We talked about this beforehand.
Don't bring that up.
I thought you'd gone to see it.
It was good though. It was good.
I
enjoyed it. I thought it was good fun. Good time to bring it out as well around Christmas time. That's something like people were going to see and stuff that had a nice buzz. It's the songs that got me though.
Right.
Quite catchy tunes.
Yeah.
Everybody had them on Spotify.
Who's it, Timothy Chalamet that's in it? Does he sing much?
He does, aye.
Is he a good singer?
Quite good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and when I was quite surprised when he got the role, not that he's not a very talented actor, but you just see him doing very, very serious roles.
Yeah. Very not that.
Yeah. Not that,
yeah.
Exactly. Because, I mean, you see Willy Wonka, you think, first thing you think about is Gene Wilder, and then you go, Johnny Depp's version's a bit darker. But he went so the other way, it kind of worked, you know what I mean?
Good.
Because he was still
kind
of weird. Whereas Timothy, he's just like, I think he's the origin of the original one.
Okay.
That's the kind of point of the film.
Okay.
And he does a good job, actually. Yeah,
yeah.
I really enjoyed it, and the songs are good.
Fab. Yeah. I really want to see it.
No, I've not, yeah.
I need to see it. Yeah.
What did you see anything last year? Or I shouldn't say last year, have you seen anything recently?
Recently? Well, I mean, I just saw, well, here's a, is it Dune or Dune? What are we saying?
I'd say Dune.
I'd say Dune.
You're going Dune?
Dune.
Like almost French, like Dion. Chalamet.
You're Dion. Dion. Like Chalamet.
Dion toi.
Is Chalamet French?
Chalamet must be French.
Got to be French, right?
Are we Chalet Timothy. With Chalamet?
I don't
Chalamet?
Know.
Timothy what? Chalamet.
That's how
is it Timothy with an E as well?
Yes, two E's.
Yes, because it's actually Timothy.
It's got to be Timothy.
I've seen Graham Norton.
With a
Timothy. You've seen Graham Norton with Florence Pugh? And she calls him Shyamalama Ding Dong.
No.
She says that's how I refer to him as, Timothy Shyamalama Ding Dong.
Brilliant.
Aye, she's good.
Yeah, I saw that. I watched that the other
part
night.
Part 2?
Yeah, part 2.
So
yeah.
I haven't even seen the first one yet.
Really? So I started the first one and I couldn't really get into it. And then I sat down and I watched it again and I really got into it. And then I loved part 2. Okay. I thought it was absolutely awesome. I just thought, like, I honestly thought it was a perfect film. But, I mean, that's quite a bold thing to say. So I'm a bit wild with going with things like that because people are like, no, how dare you? But no, I thought it was amazing. And Denis Villeneuve, or is that how you say his name? Villeneuve, I think. He's like phenomenal, like director, like phenomenal. Because he did what, like Arrival, things like
that's
that.
That's right,
didn't
he? Arrival.
Arrival and what else was it he did? Serrano or something like that, wasn't it? Or Sicario or something it's called.
Sicario, that's right. That was about 2018, something like that. We've got producer Ion on the case here.
Yeah, Sicario.
Sicario, there you go.
Oh, he's done Blade Course. He's done Blade Runner.
2049,
the newest one, yeah.
Right.
He's phenomenal.
So that's his. Prisoners, which we watched recently. Stressful movie.
Yeah.
Is that?
Prisoners.
That's for Hugh Jackman. Mm-hmm. Is that, yeah.
Paul Dano with the fingernails and all that. Oh,
man. Paul Dano.
What an actor.
Is Prisoners different from Prisoner?
Yes.
Prisoner. Yeah.
What's the one Jack and Iona's fingers are falling off? There's one, and it's a boy with learning difficulties, and he gets locked away in a room, and it's awful, and it's horrific, and I can't remember the guy's name.
And then there's Prisoners.
A famous Jack, yeah, so this can't be Prisoners that I'm thinking of, but Prisoner, I think, is one of my favourites, actually, which is quite wild for me. Prisoner.
Well, that's quite good, though.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
That's Prisoners.
Prisoners.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, it's the one with Hugh Jackman.
Yeah. Well, if I get a different story.
I watched it and there was a child locked.
Are you sure you're not talking about Charlie and Shorty? They get locked in a lift. I mean, it's like...
No, and it's like they're trying to... Yeah.
Excuse me. Oh, he does. He doesn't have learning difficulties, but he's.
Well, that was my interpretation of it. Okay.
You were thinking right the same thing.
Okay.
But that was a good movie. You said that wasn't very good. I thought it was good.
That no, I loved that movie. That's one of my favourites. That's what I'm saying. It's quite unlike me.
That's quite an arty movie. What was the one you'd done on the podcast? Luther. I've still not watched the TV series. I've seen the film.
I don't even know if you can still get the TV series. But,
I don't know. I asked Cole to pick a movie, his favourite movie of all time for the podcast.
Right.
So he just went with the latest one he saw.
What? Luther?
I'd seen Luther a couple of days before.
But that's not a film?
No, it is. They made a film. Cynthia Erivo was in it.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Cynthia?
Big Cynthia.
I've had dinner with her. Back in the day.
Have you? Right, come back to me on that one.
Yeah.
Were you not going to move in with her at one point?
Yeah, she was going out with my friend at the time.
And then you got me.
This is way back when, like 2011 or something like that, when she was in the West End at the time. She was doing I Can't Sing, I think.
I was singing that today.
Were you?
Uh-huh.
That X Factor show, remember?
Yeah,
right. She was going out with one of my friends at the time, and we were at Mount View together, and they were going out together, and blah, blah, blah. So, yeah.
Gosh. Brilliant.
Yeah, so there was a potential that was going to happen, but then obviously now she's... Alphabet, and I'm here. They're trying to audition for the Willy Wonka experience. Safe to say we're no pals anymore.
No.
We weren't the pals at the time.
Very good actress, though. She's very good.
Phenomenal.
She's fab,
singing. Good. Great singing voice.
Phenomenal singing voice, yeah.
She did a film called Bad Times at the El Royale a couple of years ago.
Right.
It sounds Bond-like.
It kind of Bond-like, you're right, aye. And it was... one of those ones where an incident happens at a motel and then you see it from different people's perspectives. So I like a film like that.
Yeah.
And then there's one part where it's her perspective and she just sings the whole time through her scene.
Oh, wow.
And she's just singing for it's about 4 or 5 minutes just straight, no music, a cappella, like, brilliant moment.
She has the most phenomenal voice.
She was great.
Voice is incredible.
So there's one that we're going to watch, actually. I have all these DVDs and Blu-rays, right, that I need to either get rid of, don't need them anymore, or keep your favourite sort of thing. But I've got ones that either I've not seen yet that I've just bought because I like the packaging. Or I've still got there that I love that Iona's not seen. So I thought that could be a good thing we could do for the podcast. We could watch through.
Oh, nice.
And decide, keep.
Yeah.
Or bin.
Or bin, yeah. That's
love
good.
It or list like, it.
Love it or list it.
Love it or list it. That's nice.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's ringing a bell, wow. That film, that El Royale. I remember seeing that being advertised. It looked really cool.
Chris Hemsworth, I'm going to say, is in it, right? And he's got like a 80s porn moustache. Mm. And they get him to take his top off.
I mean, why wouldn't
he? So I went, whose idea was that?
Yeah.
So, but he's very, very good. And there's other people in the film as well.
And there's other people.
And there's other.
But the one thing you remember.
Apart from his abs.
The abs, and then Cynthia's singing.
Cynthia's singing. That's the main takeaway. It's a great concoction for a great film. Cynthia's singing and Chris's abs. It's a hit.
It is a hit. So, in terms of, we were talking about films, you've seen anything past couple of weeks you've
we've
seen?
We've both seen what?
All of Us Strangers.
All of Us Strangers.
Oh, yes.
Have you seen that?
I've not seen it, but it's still in cinemas.
Yep. Still in cinemas now.
Thoughts?
Yeah. Do you want to go first?
Well, yes. I enjoyed it. I thought it was beautifully aesthetic, wonderful actors. Nice. But for me, it was... I need a plot. And for me, it wasn't very plotty.
Okay.
It was a bit take what you want. Mm-hmm. Make up your own mind and I need to be told.
Cole literally needs a synopsis at the start of the film. Yeah, you know
like
what I mean?
Star Wars.
Like, yeah, literally tells you exactly what happens.
And it didn't have that, so I was a bit... I wasn't lost, I was just... I kept waiting for it to make sense. Yeah. And it kind of didn't. Right. Mm. So I just left a bit unsatisfied. But I still enjoyed it. It was a bit slow at points. Okay. But yeah.
I was... But it just goes to show you, doesn't it, how one film can have such a different effect on two different people. Yeah. Like, I was, like, deeply affected by it. Like, I mean, I was gutturally crying at the end. And like,
were you?
Yeah, and, like, couldn't stop all the way to the bathroom. Like,
I'm just
was
crying
because
I finished my popcorn too soon.
Like, yeah, and it... But I know exactly what you mean, but I had no idea why I was like that. You know what I mean? I think it was just some of the themes it must have really touched home.
Yeah.
But I also think it was, I'm going to say it. I think it was one of the best endings to a film that I've seen, not in terms of a plot, but just in terms of aesthetically, in terms of shot. Yeah. There's this unbelievable shot when they're sort of like, they're spooning, they're together, and then they sort of, and the camera sort of pans out from above them and pans like all the way out until they're basically just like a little speck, and then they're the star like in the sky. And it was just this, I don't know, it was this sort of imagery of like how in that moment that world was so important to them, but then when you zoom right out, there's just a tiny little speck. Do you know what I mean? Of like, and I was like, you know, so I was like totally in by the end of it.
I love that.
But yeah, it was really so much of it was done so beautifully, and they were looking at really hard subject matters, but doing them really sort of
quite subtly
and not sort of like driving at home, which I loved. And it was just like the one moment is the bit when he doesn't let him in. So it's basically, am I allowed to give things away?
Why not?
So like he just sort of like, basically Andrew Scott's character could have helped Paul Mescal's character. He was the only person in that moment that could have helped him.
Yeah.
But Andrew Scott's character was so scared in that moment, just through his own anxieties and his own fears, that he couldn't let him in, which then leads to him... Can I go on and... Is that spoiler alert? Nah, I might not spoil it.
Spoiler alert. Because it might make more sense for me.
Basically, then he then kills himself. Well, that's what it's suggested.
Right,
you know what I mean? Well, that's what I took from it anyway. And he was the only person that could have helped him, but because he was so scared, they couldn't let him in that moment.
Wow.
And it's just like, oh, no. It's like heartbreaking, you know what I mean? Like, he could have saved a life, but...
Aye.
And it's not because he was trying not to save a life, he was just too scared.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that's what I got.
No, that sounds good. Yeah. That's Paul Mescal, though, good actor.
Unbelievable.
Really good actor.
I went on a pure monologue then.
You did. I enjoyed it. Now it all makes sense.
There you go.
And great accent, because when Paul Mescal started speaking in his like sort of northern English accent, I thought, threw me a bit. And then I thought, are we going to get some... Not that I'm an expert or a dialogue expert, but I thought...
No, but I mean...
But he was fab.
Did you see After Sun? He's a Scottish accent in that.
Does he?
Aye, very good.
Oh, he does it all.
He does it all. He's a man of many talents. That's good to hear, though, because it's one of those films that I feel like, because it doesn't get a lot of hype, sometimes you miss those ones.
Yeah.
We've just got our Cineworld Unlimited cards.
Oh.
Same.
Right? So I was a loyalist for years, but expired over COVID and just never renewed it. But we're back, and I got Iwan on board this time. So that's the sort of film that we'd go and see because you've got it. So that's nice to hear.
It's my favourite thing in the world, that card. Yeah. Katie got me mine for my birthday and it's the best present I've ever
got. It's good,
isn't it? Oh, it's unreal.
Discounts?
Discounts, lovely. Maybe 10%.
You can walk in, if you get the black card, it's 25%.
Oh, is it?
Can you believe that?
You get one of those. You get after a year, don't you? You get bumped up.
Yeah. Have you seen anything at the GFT? Because the film festival's been on.
Oh, God, man, I feel so bad. I feel like I should know more that's going on just in the industry. But I'd never got a chance to go. So we saw The Zone of Interest, which is one of the Oscar films.
That looks amazing.
We saw that at the GFT.
How did you find that?
We really enjoyed it. Talking about a war film about a concentration camp, it's kind of weird to say we really enjoyed it, but it's one of those ones that is very well made and very arty and things like that. And kind of what you were saying there about, is it All of Us Strangers? If you're looking for the actual plot itself, Zone of Interest doesn't really have like a kind of, okay, this is what's going to happen to the characters, and then something happens and the film ends. It's also just like a moment of time.
Okay.
This is what this family's going through during the war, sort of thing, and they're living right next door to a concentration camp, and it's how they kind of manage that. So that you're just kind of witnessing that.
Yeah.
And it's a snapshot of what that time was like. So some people, I'm assuming, would have did like come out of that film and be like, I maybe missed something there, or I didn't feel fully fulfilled.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed it. It was quite arrogant. And I really enjoyed it as well for that reason.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to come over and shout into the microphone and give your thoughts. It's good that Iona sees films like that, because she usually just watches things like Real Housewives of Beverly Hills or Vanderpump Rules.
Nothing wrong with it, right? I love my Beverly Hills. It's Zone of Interest. It was one that I didn't think I'd enjoy, and actually I probably would have found boring. Mm. But now I'm taking more of an interest in films with the podcast.
More of a zone of interest.
That's why he's here.
You're coming back on. I really enjoyed it, and I felt really... like it felt weird saying I felt like nice and calm and like coming out of the cinema. I didn't feel like traumatized, or because I think that's what I was expecting because of like the topics. But it was like lovely. I really enjoyed it. I would suggest you go see it actually.
If you like films like that, like kind of and hard hitting, but not too like so much is happening. You're like, right, okay, where's this going?
Yeah,
it's a good, and it's also it's less than 2 hours, I think, as well, isn't it?
Yeah,
I'm into that.
Can you check that's not still recording? 25 minutes. Thank you.
I saw a bit about the director of that, because they set it up, they didn't plan the shoot, did they? They almost set it up like a Big Brother sort of situation, didn't
they? Exactly, and it's really apparent, but like in a good way.
Is it? Yeah.
Aye.
Yeah, that looks really cool. So they basically like set the house up, they rigged it all up with all the cameras and all that sort of stuff, and then they just let the actors basically play the story.
No way. Really?
The house, yeah.
Oh, that would be... I don't know about watching it, but it'd be fun to do.
Absolutely, and you can imagine it's almost like they've been allowed to just go and do their thing.
Kind of like theatre.
A bit of theatre. A bit in the round. I mean, it's like they walk into one room and it's like, it's so obvious, it's just, let's go to this camera now and let's go to this camera. They've not tried to disguise it.
Yeah.
Which I quite appreciated, actually.
Yeah, I love that.
So, that was good. The other one that I wanted to tell you about that I totally recommend is The Holdovers, which was just in the cinema.
Oh, yeah.
Paul Giamatti,
yeah.
Aye. I get quite into like the Oscars and stuff, and watching all the best picture nominees and stuff like that. I tried to be all artsy like that. Out of all of them, that was my favourite one.
Really?
Out of all 10 nominees, better than Oppenheimer,
really?
In my opinion.
Really, yeah.
Enjoyed it more than Barbie, enjoyed it more than whatever. We were talking about it as well, like the sort of film that we're kind of after.
Yeah.
Good message, but also really well written and funny at times and lovely relationships, and totally recommend that one.
Brilliant.
And less than 2 hours.
Great.
Fab. So there you go. So that's definitely a big recommendation from me.
Love that.
There you go.
Nice. I really want to see that.
So Oscars, this will be out probably this Sunday, so there'll be Oscars will be tonight if you're listening on release date, everybody. So we'll see what happens there with all the films.
Is Oscars tonight?
It'll be
on Sunday.
Yes, tonight.
Tonight, yes. Oh, the Oscars tonight.
Oh, yes. This live, everybody. Yes. Doing this live. thanks for phoning in.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens with that. But the reason you are here, though, I did have to talk to you, is because I recently had the pleasure of seeing you on stage together. Not only just two very talented actors, but also boys together, and some would say Bonnie Boys.
Bonnie Boys.
What a segue.
How many times have people made that joke, though?
Not often. not often yet.
No, but it's going to happen.
Hopefully.
The more it develops.
Thanks so much for coming.
Not at all.
We had a great time.
It was a gallus night.
Didn't we? We had a brilliant time. Not that we knew it was going to be good, because obviously it's a 2U, but we didn't really know what to expect, really.
Yeah.
And we just had an absolute ball, man. Yeah. And you said that you watched back the video and you could just see your wee heads up, like, bopping.
Yeah. Some of the footage, you're right at the front. What were you in the second row, behind Iona?
Well, I don't know why you did put the 6'3" guy in the second row, but it's better in the first row.
Well, yeah, it's just... do you do that thing when you go to the theatre, you sort of slouch down because of people behind you?
100%. We were there other night, we saw the Addams Family at the King's Theatre.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like an Amdram company. Yeah. Mm. So you knew there was lots of parents there seeing the bands. Yeah. That's my boy. I stood up at the end, because I don't agree with that, but everybody was standing up.
Yeah.
And there was obviously somebody's mommy behind me.
Yeah.
And I just felt so bad. I don't need to be standing here. Yeah. She does. So I do feel really bad.
I sort of stand up, but then slouch on the... See, when the seat fires back, I sort of then sit on that, and then I'm kind of normal height after that.
I do so a weird...
If you'll take a tip for me.
Bend my knees a wee bit and kind of go, you can still see. I just feel bad.
No, I do too. Yeah. I feel you.
But yes, so at the Oran Mór a few weeks ago in Glasgow, we had your debut show.
Debut.
There's a lot of French in this podcast.
I was trying to think of a segue, but I can't go.
I believe it's debut.
There you go.
Debut.
It's a debut.
Your debut.
And I'm just assuming it was a rousing success, but I want you to tell me the kind of process of like when you just went, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go this date. We're going to go to this venue, this type of show. What was the whole thought process when you started putting together ideas?
To me, to you.
Yeah. we both said to each other one day, I individually, independently, was wanting to do my own Scottish cabaret in some form, somewhere in the world. And said this to Lee, and then he said a similar thing. Yeah. So then we said, well, why don't we do it together?
Yeah.
Why don't we just form a dual type
super
thing?
Super group.
Yeah.
Super group, yes.
Like McBusted.
McBusted. Mamma Mia.
Absolutely.
Ah, but no. And so we kind of did, but this was maybe less than a year ago. Maybe like last summer, we actually set a date and started getting real about it, didn't we?
Yeah.
And then it was just a lot of hard work from then trying to get everything together.
I think what we both wanted to do was like appreciate the artists that came out of Scotland that we absolutely love, but without it being like gimmicky, you know, because there's a lot of stuff that we see that's a bit sort of Scottish. We're always like taking the mick, aren't we, and taking the piss, and it's like we wanted to do something that actually honours it, but it isn't, that's real. And that's, I think we managed to do that, and that's what we're continuing to try and do as well, because there's some, what I always wanted to do was do some songs where people were like, oh my God, that's a Scottish artist that done that,
right.
You know what I mean?
Because
I don't know, as soon as anybody thinks Scotland, just go Proclaimers. Do you know what I mean? Right. Like, the Proclaimers are brilliant. We sung the Proclaimers.
And people do love those songs, so you want to do those songs.
You want to do those songs,
But you also hope that there's a few... Like, I remember on stage thinking, oh, I hope people at the moment are going, oh, I didn't know that was Scottish.
Aye.
Because even when we were going through our set list and when we were choosing what to put in the show, I was going, oh, I didn't know that was Scottish, or I didn't know that Snow Patrol were Scottish. So yeah,
there'll be people phoning and going like, "No, they're no." Well, one guy's Scottish.
Are they all Scottish? There's just one. I don't think. I thought maybe one of them was
from Northern Ireland. I think.
Oh right.
Yeah,
Paul Mescal.
Paul Mescal, the drummer's.
It's an accent. He does. He's good.
He's good. Yeah. He can do that. He can sing as well. Can he?
Probably can.
To be honest with you.
Probably can.
Hello,
Paul. Yeah,
but that's brilliant. Yeah. So you wanted to honour that kind of like those classic songs that you do hear all the time at these kind of Scottish events, but you wanted to do the kind of more kind of niche stuff as well. And I'm assuming you enjoy those songs personally too.
Absolutely.
Quite happy to sing them.
Yeah.
That was part of our whole creation of it. We didn't want to sing anything that we didn't like.
Sing,
yeah, good call.
So but there were a few that were in the maybe pile.
That were crowd pleasers, but we were like, do you know what? We want to sing these songs and we don't want to sing that one, so we're not singing it.
Yeah.
So tell me some of those. What are the ones that you thought maybe we should sing, but you never?
Ooh.
Love is all around.
Love is all
around. Right, that's the one I was thinking.
You know, that's like, I think I saw a thing about that being 18 weeks at number one or something, and they were so sick of it that they had to pull it for the charts because it was just doing their nothing so much.
The Scottish Uptown Funk.
Yeah, basically, yeah. So that was in there, so we pulled that. But it's in the pile for when we go and do other things, because people do love it.
Need to hear that one, aye.
Shang-a-lang, that was another one. Bay City Rollers.
What was the Wild Mountain Time? Is that what it's called?
It's called Wild Mountain Time, yeah.
The kind of folky one.
We do like that one, though. That that got cut last minute.
Yeah.
We'd love to do that again.
Right, so we've got the set list here. I wanted to go through it, and I want you to tell me why you picked this song.
Oh my
for
God.
Okay.
Your listeners care about us.
Absolutely.
No. It's very indulgent.
It'll be all the family. It'll be the same audience that were at the show. Right, okay, so opener, right, was very important.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you want to go and see any show, any gig, you want the opener to be a banger. Real Gone Kid.
Banger.
What a song. Why did you pick that to be first?
I think, like you say, it's a good a good opener, isn't it? It's got that nice sort of natural build to it, and then party.
And it's got the big ooze at the start as well, and we're hoping to get the audience doing the ooze with us.
Yeah, get them going.
I'm not vocally warm, so I'm not going to give you I'm not going to give you an ooh.
But, this might sound daft, right? But like, how did that, I don't want to say how did that feel, but like, is that the first time you've kind of been on stage singing like that? Like singing to people who maybe are singing the words back to you with a mic in hand. Like, these are classic songs you've known all your life and stuff.
That's
like
a good point, actually. You know what I mean? Because if you're doing like a music or something, people aren't sitting singing back at you.
That's what I mean. Well, they already know the words and stuff. Yeah. You know?
I had experience with it because that's one of the main reasons I wanted to do a show like this as well, because I did a Jersey Boys show, basically. So with a guy called Ryan Malloy, who was the original Frankie Valli in Jersey Boys. So we did his show for 2 years, like on Royal Caribbean, around the ship. So we were singing all of those classic Four Seasons hits. So you were getting that sort of response back. So in that moment, because they weren't our songs that we were singing, we were singing other artists' songs, but to have people singing them back to you.
It may feel like that.
Felt epic. Especially when we did the wee Lewis moment and we managed to get everybody singing back to us. I mean, you know, we still had
someone
wee
moment, you loved.
That is nice, isn't it?
So imagine being an actual real artist who writes the songs and performs them to their own crowd that adore them.
My dad says that all the time. Every single time you watch something, he goes, what a feeling that'd be.
I know.
You know, you're writing that song, watching Live Aid or whatever. He's like, imagine being Freddie.
He's totally right.
New Shoes, classic. Was expecting that to be in there and it was a banger.
Banger.
Great so tune. That, we sort of had a Paolo medley at one point, didn't we?
Yeah.
And then
she's still in the mix, but
still,
but we mashed that up. We have about the same jeans.
Yeah.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
I really like that.
A small mash up.
Because I recently had to get a new pair of jeans because I was wearing the same jeans every day.
Right. Okay.
And I was singing it all the time, and then boom, it came in that show. It's almost like you know,
new jeans. Did you get new shoes or just the jeans?
Just the jeans.
Just the jeans.
New shoes next.
I want a budget here. Then we have the Annie melody followed by the Lewis melody.
Yeah.
Picking the right songs for that sort of thing, is that a fun process?
Yeah.
Or hard?
No. Are you laughing at you gotta look at me?
No, I was gonna say it is quite hard. Not that you're more musical than me, but like if you've got a bunch of four Annie Lennox songs, they then all have to sort of be the same rhythm, tempo, the same key, or at least be able to transition well into each other.
Yeah.
So that was hard, but you're on top of that kind of thing.
It took a wee while, but I mean, I'm sort of like, I'm one of these obsessive people, do you know what I mean? So like that, it lived with me for about 6 months. Every shower, every sort of walk to work, everything was like, oh, that goes into that, and then that goes into that, and then... So I was like demented by the end. So like by the end, I would get so frustrated with Cole because I'd be like, how do you not know this? And because I've been singing it in my head for 6 months. Do you know what I mean? Like,
how I just not... got this yesterday.
How can you not read my mind?
I did tell you that. Oh, I never.
Oh, I never.
okay. Many of Horror. I didn't know this one.
Oh, Biffy Clyro. I
didn't know.
I'm not really a Biffy guy. If I'm
no. Yeah. Aye. Banger.
Well, I probably do know.
Iona is outraged at this for the purposes of the tape.
Yeah, well, it was repackaged as when we collide, wasn't it? Matt Cardo or something that did it for the X Factor, I think.
I do know Matt Cardo. There you go, maybe that's the reason. Yeah. Read all about it. Emily Sandy just announced for this year's Clyde One Live. Cool, huh?
Really?
Oh, Clyde One Live on yourself, Sandy.
And my friend Michael, who's already, we've talked about as well, who was in Willy Wonka, he played keys for Emily Sandy at one point.
Did he?
He did, really? Yeah.
Aberdeen, she's from.
Aberdeen, yes. She was at the Oranmore. That was at the Oranmore. We've played the same venue as Emily Sandy.
I've sung her song there, that's wild.
I thought you meant she was in the audience.
She was.
Imagine. So I was singing my song.
I'm going to get her
Belter.
Tune.
Belter.
Yes.
Hole at the Moon, classic. Run, Snow Patrol.
Belter.
Yeah.
And then was terrifying because we did that costume change during Run.
Right, that's what I was going to say to you as well. I remember there was a moment and I was really said that you were like pure stressed.
It was X Factor, wasn't it?
I was very impressed.
Everybody stop. This was the best thing I've ever seen in my life. See that reveal?
I told you, didn't
they? They disappeared, right? They disappeared. And I thought... Oh, they'll come out like the sides of the stage and come in at the audience again. I thought, no, they're not there yet. Are they doing a costume change? And I'm not going to lie, I did expect a bit of sparkle when he came back out, but then it was kilts. Oh, Christ. Honestly, it was lovely.
If I could have had my way, it would have been kilts and sparkles. But
next time.
We said it wasn't the vibe.
Anyway.
Thanks. For that, that's very kind. Thanks.
Not a sparkly guy.
Best moment for you. Most stressful moment for us.
Notice how she enjoyed the part that none of them were singing. I don't know how what that says. and then you've got the, I mean, the last four, apart obviously the Proclaimers was a melody, but Caledonia, Loch Lomond, Indignity. To me, I think they're the three, we think, Scottish songs. They're the three you need to go with.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Good
that
singing
was
those
little
ones.
Folky section that we wanted to pay homage.
Ah, thanks for going through that. That was lovely.
There you go. Just for those folk that maybe are thinking, okay, I'm going to go see it next time. What am I getting? What's, you know, going to be on tap?
There's your Bonnie
That's
Boys.
That's what you're getting.
You may get a few more.
A few more in there. Oh, yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
And then response-wise, good?
Really good, yeah.
Yeah,
we were so surprised.
So nice. I was so pleasantly surprised at how well received it was and how lovely everyone was about it. I knew it was a nice show. Like, it's a nice little show because we'd created what we wanted to create and we thought, well, this is what people we know would like to see, we think. But on the night, yeah, I was very taken aback by the response, which was gallus.
It was great. And the last time we spoke on the podcast, you tell me about like how I'm not confident in my singing and stuff. I'm not a singer, but I keep getting, you know, things that involving my voice and stuff. But you nailed it.
Cole is ridiculous, though. Like, Cole is one of the best voices I've ever heard. I'm sure you'll agree, right? Like, an unbelievable singer, but just you would never know it. Cause
exactly.
Not that you need to walk around telling everybody you're an amazing singer, but he just plays it down so much. We'd been friends for like years, and then next minute I went to see him in a gig, and I was like, what the hell is this? Like,
that's
why have
kind.
You never told me about this? And he's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
You're very kind. Yeah. I think it's just the chip on my shoulder because I didn't train in like musical theatre. I didn't do vocal studies or anything. I was just a wee actor. Right. But no, when you're getting paid for it, it's lovely.
It's fantastic.
So you take
it's
it.
Different.
And that's really why we're doing this. Because ultimately, we've done a lot of hard work and we want to get paid for it now, you know? We want to get bloody paid.
It's the most important part.
So,
But did you, if you're saying you're not like trained as a singer or whatever, but did you enjoy, do you enjoy being on there?
I love it, yeah. I love it.
And you got any plans for another run, another show?
There's a few things lined up, yeah. We're in talks with a few people now and we've got a few promoters and agents that we're in talks with. But that was the whole plan because we've got a lot of connections in that field. So the whole idea for that show as well was the sort of launch, really. Mm-hmm. So we can get all the footage, sell it to the producers and the promoters and stuff. And they're starting to bite already, which is quite exciting.
Great.
So we're hoping by summer and end of the year we should have a lot of nice gigs lined up.
Hopefully,
Good.
Hopefully.
Yeah, weddings? Potentially.
Do a few ends.
And then how did his footage look other than how he's bopping?
Really
good. It looks really good. Yeah, we got a really good guy to come film it. Really good.
Liam's awesome. Yeah.
Quality, yeah. Quite like such an Ed. Quality, man.
Pure quality, man. That camera and that, man.
Pure HD and all that. HD ready. I'm always ready. No, it looks really good. It looks good. And Yeah.
On the socials, get them up.
On social media.
And then just quickly, we'll talk about the people you chose to support you.
So oh, yes.
Iona's been listening to Live Dawn for ages now.
Since the gig, have you?
Yeah. She's fab, isn't she?
And that's the point, isn't it? To get new listeners and stuff, you know what I mean? So job done there. So
and
great.
She's supporting Tidelines. Are you going to that?
No, they're getting a ticket.
Oh. Mm.
Cole's always got a ticket.
I got a ticket.
I got the tickets for my Christmas, which was lovely. My mum just got me the tickets, and then Olivia revealed, Liv revealed that she's supporting them, which is lovely. Yeah,
great voice.
Yeah, amazing.
Great voice.
Yeah,
and then Bridal Hingway as well.
Yeah,
well, obviously you know well.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, when we were sort of thinking, we wanted to give people a night out, and we knew that our set was only going to be an hour 15 max. And for me, that's not quite a night out. You know, if you're bringing people out their houses, give them a bit more. So we thought we'll do a bit of a variety. Not quite a variety show, but we'll give them a variety of things to see. So we thought we'd look for a host that could do a bit of comedy.
Yeah.
And Bridal Hingway came to mind straight away, pretty much, didn't they?
Yeah.
But then there was a conflict because he was doing Macbeth at the Donmar in London.
Right.
And he didn't finish till the day before. So we sort of had come to the conclusion that he wouldn't be able to do it, and then because he's an absolute legend, he said, no, it's fine, I'll drive home through the night and have a wee nap in the morning and then come do the show. And he did.
Hero.
Absolute hero.
And smashed it.
Yeah.
Aye. That's good. Aye. So, Oh, but that's what I came up here to tell you. It was a great show. Really, really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
We'll definitely be back to another one, I think. Definitely back to another one.
Thank you.
Anything else coming up outside of the Bunny Boys? Anything? I know it's a terrible question.
Dreaded actor question.
What's the latest?
Auditioning away. Trying
to
anyway.
You've had quite a few auditions, couple which recently, has been nice, yeah.
Which has been quite nice, but yeah, a few tapes and stuff like that. Nice. But, I had a tape the other day, and then I can't mention it because you know you've got to do the NDA and all that sort of stuff. And then you do the, and you know they send you through the paper and it's got your name on it and all that. It's dead fancy, doesn't it? And you feel dead proper, and then you read it and you've got like three lines. You know what I mean? Like, but anyway, but the name of the character was just so insensitive that I was just, I can't say it as well either in case I get in trouble for it. But I was just like, I was just reading it going, I can't believe that in this day and age that's allowed, you know what I mean? Like the name of this character and this self-tape. But I know I did that, but it's quite fun doing that tape.
I think it's crazy when you get tapes and there's no actual dialogue. Now I understand you might be going for a really small character or whatever, there's no small characters, understand it. But like that's just direction. And I think that's hard to do in a sense.
I had one of them it must have been about 5 years ago. Wasn't it The Witcher? It was something along these lines, and it was basically like this guy, this young American guy, you know what I mean? He's running along and like the tape's like him, and the next minute like he turns a corner and then this witch from the sky like chases him, you know what I mean? Like, and he runs and he hides in this tree trunk, you know what I mean? And then he gets like a picture out of his son and he starts crying, and then he looks up and then he gets eaten by this witch. And I'm like, okay.
Right. Did you just do it in the house?
I just did it in the house and got like, and my friend was like filming me in my face, and like, and I saw it the other day, I watched it back, and obviously I've learned a lot then, but I'm just like, oh my god. And I'm like,
it's so worth watching back tapes as well, man. You know, what was I thinking? I sent that to somebody.
Yeah. Oh god,
someone saw this.
I know,
it tends to be for me a lot, not that I get tons of auditions, but for adverts you get a lot of direction things. Like I had to do star jumps and all this random stuff for like an STV ident or something a wee while ago.
I had
like
one for a milk one where I had to go in and lift up a box. That was it. I literally had to walk in, I had to look at this box, lift it up, put it back down. Okay, thank you, that's great. And then out I was.
That was in real life.
Real life, that was it.
I mean, they're so lucky to get a real life audition. So I got one last summer. I went into the wee room and it was you're at work at your desk in your office and you realise your stomach's rumbling, and you go in the kitchen and you steal somebody's lunch in the fridge, and then you take someone else's lunch, and then you realise that the person whose lunch it belongs to walks in and you need to react. That was the whole point, right? So I did it, and I took the absolute piss. Like, I was like, I took forever to do it. I was like, my stomach.
Well, there's quite a lot in that.
There's quite a lot, right? So I walked to the kitchen that didn't exist, opened the fridge, I'm like, doing all that stuff. And then the woman stops, she's like, can you stop, this is an advert, you need to speed up. So I done it again, I done it so quick the next time. So
they're lost.
Exactly.
Damn it. I had a tape a couple of weeks ago again for a speed awareness thing, you know, going at thing, mate, and it was one of the shots you had to do a shocked face, you know, as like they don't want a big shock face, they just want like a tiny wee reaction, but it's you like veering off the road, you know what I mean? So you're just standing in your kitchen for ages. Do you know what I mean? Like, watch the back, is that enough?
Is that too much? Not enough.
It's just like, what is my life?
How big
is the
ball?
I mean? Like, it's ridiculous.
But then you start overthinking it and you're there for ages doing that.
Yeah,
you know?
Safe to say, I never got it.
Didn't book that one.
Again, they're lost. That would have been a good shock face, I'm honest. I'm shocked.
It was a great tape as well, though.
It was.
But do you know what's really good? I feel that I'm getting better. You know, I know that sounds like really random, but you know, because the more of them you keep doing, the more you just get better and better and better. And the more, like we're saying, like that, if I look back at them 10 years ago, like they're just shocking. You know what I mean?
But also, if you don't mind me saying, you are a little bit older than me. So for me, like self-tapes have always been a thing.
Yeah.
Whereas, an older actor said to me a wee while ago, like, they've had to learn how to do self-tapes, like, on their own, whereas it was sort of part of our training.
Absolutely.
That you have to learn, you have to do tapes. And even for theatre, it's becoming more popular.
Yeah.
It's sort of still probably the first round, isn't it?
Yeah. I like a tape though. I really do like a tape. I enjoy it now. And I've got that down to watching a lot of stuff on it. And I've got it down to a fine art now as well of all the practice. And actually, I just only try and do 3 takes max. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Everybody
and just,
says that.
Just let it, and then let it go because you're just, because you can drive yourself insane with them, you know? And they know within the first few seconds, don't they?
Yeah.
You, like whether you're right for it or not. And they just, you know, move on. But it was funny. Do you know that if you got Tagman?
And
it looks through your self tapes. And I was looking at them yesterday, all of the self tapes that I had. And I was like, none of them. Right. Hadn't booked any of them.
Not a single
like,
one.
Oh my God.
I know. It's
just like heart wrenching. But there you are. You keep going. I saw this thing. I reposted it. And it was a girl who auditions on Broadway. And she was, did you see that?
Yeah.
It was like she'd done like 76 auditions or something like that year. And I was like, 76 auditions, amazing.
Yeah.
In the 1 year. And she booked one of them and it wasn't from any of those auditions. It was through a friend that basically crazy, got her. And people are commenting like going, why do you do this? And I'm going, I don't know why we do it. We're all insane. You know what I mean? We must be.
Well, there's the creative aspect of it, I think, but it does drive you insane, I think. Just if you continue to redo it and reshoot it and stuff. Like, I remember doing ones where it's like, okay, it's due in the morning. You know what I mean? And it's nighttime and, you know, there's another character. And I'm like, what, am I going to go and bother somebody to read these lines for me?
Yeah.
I've recorded the other person's lines on
left,
my phone.
Left pauses.
Left pauses.
Yeah.
Played it on my laptop whilst I've sat in front of the camera and pretended there's someone there, like, just to do it. And it's just, you watch them back, they are horrendous.
Yeah.
They do it, like, again, someone professional has watched this. You know what I mean? And again, no, did get it, so, aye. It's a skill, though. You're right, it's a skill we need to work on.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And it's, the more you do it, the more it's, it becomes fun, you enjoy it. I do enjoy it now, definitely.
That's good.
Yeah.
You were just in London recently.
Was I in London recently?
You were doing something in London?
I was in Manchester.
Rehearsing
in London, I was doing a show called Tu Wong Fu. It was, have you ever seen the film?
No.
Tu Wong Fu, A Letter to Julie Newmar. Thanks for everything, Julie Newmar. It was basically, it came out exactly the same time as Priscilla.
Oh, right.
So it was John Leguizamo, Patrick Swayze, and Wesley Snipes play 3 drag queens that break down in Middle America in this little town called Snydersville, basically. And it's a sort of a really small town, you know, and these people sort of arrive and they are, the whole premise is that they don't even realise that it's 3 men dressed in drag. They just think it's 3 career girls from New York, basically.
Right.
And then the 3 of them sort of glamify this town and sort of turn it around and they drive the sort of main antagonist out of the town, who I ended up playing in the musical version. So
brilliant.
We worked with the director, writer of the film, Douglas Carter Bean. He came over and he directed the musical. It was like
he's done so much. What else has he
done? He's done loads. Yeah, he wrote like
Sister Act.
He wrote the book for Sister Act. Yeah, the musical. He wrote Xanadu. I mean, well, obviously he worked with Robin Williams, and because Robin Williams is in the film,
right.
He worked with all of these like people. He was the most enigmatic, eccentric sort of like 70s. He's like New Yorker, you know, he's like, guys, you just talk like that, you know, he's just like this larger than life guy. He's like, darling, what are you doing? And but he was, yeah, it was fab. So it was kind of cool. So we did that. Yeah, we did it. It was the world premiere of the musical of it, so
brilliant.
It was fab. And we all started in drag, so I got to be in drag for the first time in my career.
Nice.
At the start of the show. So what, in 6.5-inch heels. Drag's hard. Drag is hard. Like 5 layers of tights we had on.
To save you shaving?
Well, no, because you had to do all this padding.
Oh, your pads,
and all
your
that.
Pads.
And, yeah.
And you managed?
I managed. It was tough.
He was fabulous.
Thank you.
Very good.
But yeah, it was really nice. It was a great... It was received so well, like the audience absolutely loved it. Like
nominated for something?
It was nominated for Best Regional Production,
nice.
On stage. We never won, but yeah, it was great to get nominated. And absolutely. Best Costume Design as well. So I think it will definitely have a life.
Great.
That was the sort of the start of it, basically. And basically, Doug was saying that the reason why he didn't do it in America was because California's where he would normally do it, but there was a new bill that was just passed saying that you couldn't perform drag shows or something. If my facts are wrong here, I'm sorry, correct me, but I think it was something along those lines. Yeah, fact checker. But yeah, I believe that's right. Florida. Florida.
Right.
Not California, because Florida's a red state, right?
So
It was Florida, yeah, where they would normally do it, but they couldn't because you weren't allowed to perform drag shows anymore.
That's mad. I think.
Yeah, is that right?
Wow.
Yeah. So they, yeah. And
crazy, man.
So they did it in Manchester with Joe and Will. So Joe's my good friend from Knightswood. We went to the Dance School of Scotland and he started a theatre with his partner called the Hope Mill Theatre, which is mega now. They're in their 8th year now, I think, and they're just flying.
Brilliant.
So it's fab. Yeah, it's pretty
good. That sounds great. And what about you in terms of films? Like, you're a film guy? Do you?
Yeah, I love film. Yeah, that's the dream. Always kind of has been the dream, man. I think. You know, love film.
Give me some favourites. I don't want to say your favourite because it's very hard. But got a top five or anything like that.
Top five. Wow. I think I'm quite basic, but I think honestly one of my favourite films is True Romance.
Oh yeah, very nice.
I think it's just like epic. You know, I love Tarantino. I love most of Tarantino's films. Yeah, and I mean, I'm just like a pure bloke, I think, like Goodfellas, you know what I mean, like The Godfather. Like, I mean, it's terrible, isn't it? Like, but I love arty films, do you know what I mean? And I want to be that guy who's pure into like the arty films, but I'm like,
but the classics are the classics.
Classics are the classics, yeah,
absolutely. In terms of Tarantino ones, favorite one.
Favourite Tarantino? Well, obviously he didn't direct True Romance, did he? So no. I'd have to say he wrote that to fund Reservoir Dogs, didn't he? So he passed that off to, Tony Scott? Tony Scott? No. Yeah. Tony Scott? That's what the director's called, isn't it?
Who directed True Romance?
Yeah,
yes, Tony Scott. Yes, I believe so, Tony Scott. That's something I should know, I'm so sorry.
So should I. What a cast that's got, by the way, as well. But yeah, I'd say favourite Tarantino film.
It's just because I only still kind of on the not watch them all and I want to kind of experience them with her sort of thing. So we watched Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
Is that the only one we watched? No. Oh, we watched Jackie Brown as well.
Jackie Brown. I mean, Inglourious Basterds is unbelievable. Good, like, Christoph Waltz and amazing. Is there a... Like, come on, in terms of cinematic acting performances, can you get much better than that?
I think it's the best opening scene.
Oh my God, that opening scene.
In cinema, aye.
It's like...
Absolutely. Yeah. So good.
Tarantino's unbelievable.
And then, so I was going to say, all the ones you liked... I was going to ask you about Jaws. Do you like Jaws? Have you seen Jaws?
I've seen Jaws, yeah.
What do you think of Jaws?
I enjoyed Jaws, yeah.
Because I was speaking to a non-film person today and they loved it.
Yeah.
And it's my favourite film.
Right, so you, actually,
I'm
going to
ask you guys tonight.
Right, okay. Jaws.
I studied Jaws in school. It was a dentistry school. No, I'm kidding. No. No, we did. I think it was either English or media studies or something.
He did Jaws?
He did Jaws, yeah. God. And it was all like discussing the different camera angles and how like it wasn't the most tech-savvy world when they shot it. So there was no CGI. It was just big rubber sharks and dollies pulling out when the camera was zooming in and fancy doing what they could to make it work.
Do you know what they said at the end of that shoot? Finn. Anyway, moving on.
French.
Anything on rotation just now? He's watching anything? Any new shows on the go just now? Anything you're watching? Netflix, Disney Plus.
I've not quite recovered since Succession, I don't think.
Right. Oh my god.
Have you started?
I can't believe you know. Aye. So we decided to watch it together. We watched maybe like 3 episodes together. But I'm really bad at keeping up with stuff. I'm more of a film guy. I like the fact you watch the film and it's done. You've watched it.
Yeah.
I can now say
I've seen that. Right.
Whereas the Succession one, it was just taking me just to watch it and I don't know why it was so good. I can appreciate how good it was, but I never finished it yet.
Right, okay.
So no spoilers, but no, good one.
Yes, phenomenal. Yeah.
Is that with Brian Cox?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably the best TV series in the last 10 years, I'd say. Yeah. In my humble opinion, but
I've forgotten the name of it, but it's on Netflix right now and it's really popular. One Day? One that I've been watching that.
Yes.
Did you see? Have you watched? You know, you've not seen
not
it yet.
Seen it yet.
And Iona, have you finished it?
I've not finished it.
She's not finished it. No, I've not finished it either. But I just, this isn't a spoiler, but I'm not getting what everyone else is getting.
Get
classic Cole. I'm not getting what everyone else is getting.
Cole literally watches like just Scottish things. Like that is literally, like he watches Two Doors Down and it, like that's it.
Still game.
And Luther. Right. See, like, try to find something for the three of us to watch in here at times. It's, like, mental. What did we manage to get recently? Oh, the making of Frozen 2.
Which?
Yeah.
To be fair, that was a big leap for me because that's a lot of animation and I don't really do animation.
And an even bigger one for me. I mean, yeah. But I actually ended up enjoying
it. I thought Frozen 2 was brilliant.
I've not seen it
yet. Yeah, but this was the making of Frozen 2, so we weren't even on the film.
I watched a bit of the film, but yeah, I can't really do the whole Disney thing. I enjoy it a wee bit, but
I'm not really into it either.
No.
But yeah, I'm not getting the hype of One Day.
What is it you're not liking about it? Is it just the...
It's just like, it's fine, like, aye. But I'm not getting, I think everyone's going on about the chemistry that the two leads have got, and it's heartbreaking, and it's this and it's that, and I'm sort of not... I'm not trying to abstain from it. I'm just not buying into it. Like, it's not obvious to me.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah. Is it, and who's in it?
I don't, they're both new. The female lead was in, that BBC drama, the doctor one, This Is Going to Heart.
Oh, yes. I heard that was good.
That was amazing. I really liked that. She's the female lead in it, and I don't know the guy. The guy was new to me.
Right. Was it
Leo Woodall?
Yeah. I remembered now.
Nice. And he was good?
They're both great, but hyped up.
It's weird when you see someone, maybe for example, you watch something because someone's in it. That happens all the time.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch this new something. But it's good to get introduced to some new people.
Yeah.
We saw The Holdovers. Obviously, you go see this big Oscar-nominated film. There's a guy in it, the young guy who plays the student that Paul Giamatti is kind of like tutoring or whatever. Dominic Sessa is the actor's name.
Okay.
And we were like, who is this? I looked on IMDb afterwards. It was his first film.
No way.
And it's this Oscar-nominated film with Paul Giamatti. He was unbelievable.
Wow.
Really?
And it's just like, you just become fans. I would actually said we should like follow him.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, start startup career and stuff. He's done theatre shows, but in terms of films, first one.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, what
that was kind of like Paul Mescal. Yeah. I know this has become a Paul Mescal podcast,
yeah,
but
they love him.
I think he did one play when he left. I think he went, did he go to Trinity Laban or? I don't know, somewhere. And he did one play, and then the first TV thing he did was Normal People.
Right.
And
yeah.
All the timing worked out and he lucked out.
Well, most casting directors now as well want people that don't have any experience. Like, every casting
real
that
people.
You see come out now is just like no acting experience needed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm like, great. Well, shouldn't have went trained then all those years. Then, sure. But you know what I mean? It's like when we were sort of growing up, it was like, you know, the big thing was like, go to drama school. Like, get to drama school.
Get
an agent. And that's like, you know, and now it's just a bit like people want the realness, and I get that, I understand that, especially from a film point of view, because film nowadays especially as well, it's become so technical, hasn't it? Like something like Dune. Like, you know,
Dune.
You're like, you're just looking at that and you're going, those shots, right? You're like, you as an actor in that shot, you know, you've got very little to do. You might have like one line that they spend 9 hours that whole day doing that whole shot, you know what I mean? And you've got to stand, look,
so still,
you know, so still, like hardly move, and then literally just whisper. You know what I mean? Like, and that's it. Yeah. Like, I did a thing, I was on set for a thing recently. Sorry, can't I say?
talk to my agent.
Talk to me. But and I was watching these two actors, and you know, we're in this large room, right? And there's when it's massive room, right? And there's all this equipment, these huge cameras. These two actors are literally like here, and they're literally talking to each other like this. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm just like,
and the mic's here.
You're the mic's here. And I'm like, what? Of all the training and all the stuff that we've all done, you know what I mean? Like, you never get taught that. Like, when do you get taught, this is all you're going to have to do for the rest of your career?
Whisper.
Do you know what I mean?
ASMR.
ASMR. Sorry, is this going to be so weird on your podcast? People are going to be like, oh God.
Whispering, everybody listening in bed right now. My favourite franchise, my favourite thing is Star Wars, right? So I always thought, I'd love imagine being in Star Wars. Yeah. Like, just being there in the desert all day, like just burning, but imagine being in that world.
Yeah.
You see the behind the scenes stuff, and it's just all just in a wee room, and it's just all the blue walls
yeah.
and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just, you would go in for, you know, probably a day and do that one shot.
Yeah.
The Mandalorian, it's not even him in the suit. Yeah. It's just a guy standing there.
Yeah, yeah.
Doing
it's
that.
It's great that you think that with Star Wars, because I think that watching the Channel 4 news, you go, that, it's all just blue screen.
Yeah. Sean Batty with the weather. Aye. He's STV.
STV. But they're all the same. I've watched all these my mum things doesn't that like makes... him. I used to live. He was my neighbour.
Sean Batty
was my neighbour for a while.
Was he?
He was. Yeah.
Was he?
And then he had a wee dog. And then I don't know where
Did
he is.
Did you
now.
Ask him every day about the weather? Like,
what's the weather, Sean?
What's the weather, Sean?
I wonder how many times that poor boy gets out of day.
Oh my God.
Sean, what'd you make of this, huh? You never said it was
going to
rain.
Wait, you got to do something about this, Sean.
How many people have sung It's Raining Men to him? No?
That's just funny. Me. No.
I good. Don't know where that came from.
I don't know.
What other weather related songs are there?
What would his favourite film be? Frozen. Rain Man.
Wind in the Willows.
Gosh.
Gone with the Wind. It was coming. Oh, delayed one there. Delayed one there. Favourite character? Storm. Favourite drink? Sunny D.
Nice.
You're rattling these off.
Cloudy by Chance of Meatballs. That's the best one.
That's a good one.
We'll finish up in a second, but I forgot to say something as well. We were talking about the show, and you brought it up the other week when we were at that party. You kept grabbing the mic and you were going, sing!
And oh, yeah!
Sing! Sing!
So there's a bit.
Tell us about it. I keep thinking about that.
So I'm doing my little Emily Sandy bit, singing Read All About It, part 3, beautiful little ballad.
Part 3.
I'm on stage myself, the band have all left, you've left the stage. And it hadn't struck me before, but I'm halfway through singing the kind of the bridge where she's, or I'm singing, we're all wonderful, wonderful people. How's it go?
Sing.
Sing.
Sing. So when did we all become so fearful? And you repeat it. And as I was singing it the first time, I went, oh, I've got all this audience here. I'm going to get them to sing that because that'd be nice. Like singing, we're all wonderful people. That's gallus. That's lovely. And then I realised as I went to get everyone to join in that I didn't have enough time. So now in the recording, when you watch back the footage, it's just me singing it. And in the middle, I go, sing. Yeah, we're all like I've got no time at all. But it's the way I do it. You were like, you turned into Cher. Just sing. Like it's the hand and the voice.
So wins the other one as well when you go, everybody.
And Lewis Capaldi, we get everyone to sing. What was it?
Someone you loved.
Yeah. And now the day bleeds. So we go, and now the day bleeds into nightfall. And then I go, everybody.
Well, that
like, is so uncool.
Oh, God.
And obviously, I heard it when you done it, but I never thought anything of it. And then when you told me the other night, I can't stop thinking about you.
Sing!
You told me like Elvis or Cher. Sing! Oh, that's good. That's good.
We've got fabulous. It on tape forever and ever.
Forever and ever. That could be just on your show reel, just that one bit.
Just a 2 seconds.
And your singing reel.
Sing!
It needs to become a staple of all the shows, though.
Yeah, I'll get it in every time.
If you do any more, aye.
But because that song is so hard, there's no room to breathe in that song.
I believe you, man.
And so you chose to put more words in?
Yeah, exactly. I forgot. When I was learning it, I thought, you need to breathe more, Cole. And then on the night, I was singing it, I thought, oh, I'll say something to them, and I gubbed it.
I'll say to all the people, I'll get them involved.
Get them to sing it.
Oh, man, get them to sing. And they did sing.
To be fair, it worked.
It did work, yeah.
Beautiful moment.
Well, guys, this has been lovely. Thank you for having us over.
Thank you so much for coming.
Really, there you go, Jinx.
Yeah.
No, I really appreciate your time, taking time out of your very busy schedules to speak to us on the show. Really appreciate it.
Oh, yes.
And we'll be back to see the Bonnie Boys in action.
Hey.
And we'll post it on the socials when it comes dates being announced and stuff like that. Everybody keep an eye out for it and an ear out for it, and you can come and you can say.
Sing.
Sing.
Thank you, guys.
Cheers.
Thank you so much.